Brent Cook, economic geologist and editor of Exploration Insights, the finest newsletter in the gold stock business. Thank you for joining the program. Brent, let me start off by saying that I really enjoyed your newsletter last Sunday where you described a recent vacation you and several geologists took offline away from your phones, computers, and the markets. In that letter, you mentioned a line, something along the lines of, you'd missed a wild week in the markets, yet in fact, you had missed nothing. Thought that was very poetic for a geologist. Can you tell us a little bit about the trip, Brent?
You know, what we did was, you know, 16 geologists and friends went rafting through the Grand Canyon for 8 days with no outside contact with anything. And, you know, doing that, you kind of get things more in perspective. Like, there were two places along the river where we could watch up and touch an erosional unconformity contact, you know, in the rocks that marked the complete formation and destruction of two continents at 1.2 billion years and 500 million years. And, you know, with that kind of perspective, you get back up and, you know, people are so focused on what did the gold price do today, or what are metal prices doing, or what's GDP going to be next week, or what are the jobs numbers going to be, that I think, and we're seeing this, that, you know, these stocks are just fluctuating all over the place on, and people aren't looking at the big picture or what's really going to happen down the road for the most part. I mean, take, for instance, a junior gold exploration company whose stock price fluctuates 30% based because the gold price goes up or down $30. It really doesn't matter to them. They don't have any gold. They're exploring. If they find it'll be years to production, these fluctuations don't really make a lot of sense. So I think it's best to step back with that, you know, perspective of, you know, two continents have come and gone, and look what was really going on down the road. 2 years from now, 5, 10, 20 years from now, are we going to be using more or less copper, lead, gold, that sort of thing, or less? To me, the science is obvious that we're going to be using more. The second point is, all right, so are we going to be able to find enough economic deposits to replace what's being consumed? And again, the answer to me is it's going to be very, very tough. The cost structure in these industries has just gone through the roof. I mean, the average all-in total cost of gold production amongst the majors is in the order of, call it, $1,400 an ounce at least. So that's not going to come down. What that tells me is, and this is where I focus in the letter, is all we need to do is ignore the daily fluctuations and identify the deposits or discoveries that are going to offer an economic deposit, a high margin deposit that one of these mining companies is going to have to buy. And if we can do that, I don't care what the gold price does this week.
Rick Rule, he told me, and I know you guys are buds, he told me that he used to make more money in the bear markets than he does in the bull markets. There's less competition. And you think that's true? You think it doesn't matter what the TSX Venture is doing for guys like you who are taking the high road and ignoring the promoters and the hype and focusing just on geology?
Yeah, I think very much so. I mean, you know, Rick and I joined Rick in 97 right after Briex. And we had 3 or 4 years that were just, you know, awful. It appeared to me to be awful at the time. But coming out of that, you know, Rick's got a much longer, he's got, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's got long-term experience. He can see these things. And so we bought these companies that you could buy for less than cash in the bank. Companies like Virginia Gold with Andre Gaumont. We bought that for less than cash in the bank. And eventually made $15 a share on that. But that's because we ignored what was really going on at the time and looked further out as to discoveries are going to be worth something. If you can buy someone with cash in the bank who knows what they're doing at or below, you know, their intrinsic value, you more often than not win.
Brent, Lucas Lundin was saying that investors probably shouldn't be in this sector unless they work in it. Is what you're saying that we just shouldn't do it alone?
Well, don't do it alone with money that you can't afford to lose. you know what I mean? It's like stepping up to the gambling table. And, you know, and the rewards when you're successful are incredible. I mean, look at Colorado Resources, right? They announced a drill hole last week. The stock has shot from 16 cents to 80-something cents in the course of 10 days. Here's the thing about it, and here's what keeps people in it. 9 out of 10 discoveries, you can kind of buy the right company, know the people, know the geology, and do fairly well. But there's always that 1 in 10 that just comes out of nowhere. And with Colorado Resources, this discovery was on the rock property, which no one really knew anything about. And it was just, they sent the drills there because they were waiting to get the permit to drill the property that I thought looked even better. So this discovery came out of nowhere. And that happens just often enough that people, you know, it's like getting double green on the roulette table. It happens just often enough that people will bet on it.
But it's so random, right?
It is. It's tough.
Now that story, it's too early to tell whether that's going to be one of these runaway deposits. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it's, you know, I talked about it in the letter. It's really interesting. It's a very good drill hole, very consistent. You know, there's a lot of questions in the back of my mind. But ultimately, until they step out, you know, 100 meters to the south and west, we don't know if the next hole is going to be that good or if it's going to fall by two-thirds, the grade. So, you know, it's a tough one to call. There's just not enough information to know, but it certainly is encouraging.
You could obviously be surprised to the upside always.
That happens sometimes.
Brent, some of these stocks have fallen off so far from their highs. And, you know, they were good quality deposits then, a year ago or 18 months ago. Can they fall farther?
I think it can certainly fall farther. You know, my experience comes from the 97 to 2002 bust where, you know, I just got into the money side of things from being a geologist. And I heard the same thing. Well, this thing's selling at half what it did, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago. It's a buy. The thing, and they would drop by half, by half, by half again. I can see that happening this time, but I'm certainly, I don't know where the bottom is. So I think what's really critical is to have a real understanding of what the deposit's worth, you know, a valuation of it. What are these 2 million ounces really worth if you build it and put it in production and pick your metal price? But let's take one like, you know, I've talked about before, Lydian International. They've got a feasibility study that shows their deposit is worth, you know, call it $1 billion. It's an easy deposit, simple metallurgy, simple mining. It's getting bigger. You can buy that company now for $250 million. Can it go lower? It certainly can. It has been lower. But you can't pick the bottom of these things. But I think you can say, all right, there's value here. I recognize this value and nobody else does. And you buy it over time. And eventually, assuming something doesn't go wrong in Armenia, you'll make money, I think. And you do the same thing to exploration, you know, early exploration stuff. Like I look at a drill hole, I can see it's got the chance for expansion, for real deposit, and you're only paying $10 million for that. And something that, if it's successful, could be worth $300 million. So, and it's the risk, the reward. But I think you can't pick the bottom, but you can say, this is a good speculation, or there's real value here that I'm getting for less than what it's worth.
So should investors who buy companies like the Lydians of the world, and they fall in half, or they don't, but should they just have a tougher stomach for big short-term losses?
I think so. What a friend of mine said the other day was, look, if you buy something in this market, be prepared to buy the same number of shares at half the price and have enough money to do that again, assuming your thesis holds together.
But But doesn't that present, I mean, I wasn't around in the bust of 97 to 2002, but doesn't that present a problem when share price is falling, they need capital, there's a dilutive financing that takes place below where you paid for the shares, and ultimately it's a great asset, like you say, and they get bought out, but again, it comes back to major's going to pay 30 or 40% premium to the past 30 days trailing price. Isn't that a huge risk to buying a stock that could fall in half, even though it had greater value in
Yeah, it is. But I don't know how you can rationally factor that in. You know, you can't predict where these things are going to bottom or when someone's going to come in and buy it. But generally, if you buy something for less than it's worth, you're more likely to make money than if you buy something for more than it's worth. I guess that's the bottom line.
It's not like these large mining companies ever bottom fish themselves anyway. They seem to, when they fire their guns, they seem to get competitive and up their bids. And as soon as the market realizes that, the money runs back into these stocks. And I guess you could see that's where you know, you can start seeing these Lydians of the world return to whatever fair value is.
Yeah, I suspect so. I mean, this happens over and over again. Now we're seeing all the major companies and juniors cutting exploration, laying off staff, trying to tweak their old and tired mines to get another buck a ton out of it. This isn't going to work. You know, I think it'll go for another 6 months to a year, maybe two. But ultimately, they're going to recognize that they need new high quality deposits, high margin deposits. And at that point, they're going to be buying again.
Of the 2,000 odd juniors on the TSX Venture Exchange, how many do you think are worth following?
Yeah, well, you know, in my newsletter, we own about 20 stocks. Because I don't, you know, it's my money, and I don't think it's smart to scatter your, you know, I like to shoot as a sniper as opposed to the shotgun. There are probably 100 stocks on the venture exchange right now that are worth more than they're selling for. And that's, I'm just, you know, it's just a rough guess, but something in that order, I'd say you could pull down that many, look at who's selling for less than cash, but then figure out real quick, who's running the cash and how fast that's going to go? Who's got a deposit that's worth more than it's selling for? And who's got a team that's capable of making the best of these current times and the cash behind them to make the acquisitions or pick up the ground that 1, 2, 3 years from now is going to be worth a lot?
Well, your newsletter is called Exploration Insights, but it sounds like you're talking about being a sniper of development stage stories right now. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. You know, I've shifted more towards, you know, hard, where I can identify a hard value because, you know, it's there, it's available. And exploration is still my focus, but, you know, you get one or two discoveries a year. Last year, our portfolio did quite well. If you just look at what we bought last year, we were up 50% in a tough year. But that was based on two discoveries, one we still hold and one we sold. This year, we haven't done so well yet. But we haven't done so bad because the stocks that we do own, the ones that, like the Lydians and the Belo Suns, they're holding their value reasonably well compared to the rest of the market because we can identify the asset and say this is worth X.
Bryn, can I ask you for a second about the Patterson Lake South discovery in the southwestern Athabasca Basin, owned by Fission Uranium and Alpha Minerals? You own shares in Alpha, or sorry, you own shares in Fission, is that correct?
Yep. We bought the shares in Fission when they made their R390 East discovery, which to me was a game changer to what they've been drilling before.
They're putting out some spectacular results, like 30 meters of 6%, or is it 30 meters of 10%, actually, I think. And so when you start to do the calculations, that's rock that's worth $30,000 a ton. That's better than the richest gold mine in the world. Is the risk there that there just isn't that much of it?
Yeah, these deposits, I mean, these are incredible discoveries to consistently make new uranium, you know, in drill holes, drilling blind through sometimes water and overburden. They've had an incredible success rate. The thing with these type of Athabasca deposits is they're very erratic and small, and so it's hard to drill them out and hard to put an actual resource on them, because it can change from 10% uranium, and you move 5 meters over, it drops down to 0.5%. And it's hard to model these things.
The continuity, I guess you mean?
Yeah. But what we know, that's what they look like. And we can compare it to the Hathor discovery in a few years ago that Rio Tinto bought. And this is moving along that same line. The advantage they've got is this is much shallower, and it should be able to be mined by an open pit, which cuts your capital cost and permitting time down considerably. So far this year, that and maybe Colorado are the discoveries that are making the news that we own.
So what did Hathor, I think it had 60 million pounds of uranium when it was sold to Rio Tinto?
Something like that.
I mean, what do you need to see on step out now? What is the likelihood, in your opinion, that they'll have some resource of that size a year or 2 years from now?
Well, 60 million pounds is a lot. It really comes down to grade. And I've seen estimates right now that they've got, call it by other analysts, in the order of 20, 25 million pounds, grading something like 4 to 5% uranium, U308, which is by itself a good deposit. If that's the case, they've got a good deposit already. But I have not been able yet to put a resource on it. But it is open. They continue to hit. And, you know, I think chances are better than 50-50 that ultimately they're going to have an economic deposit there that is worth more than the current share price.
Yeah, it's like they've got the depth advantage to Hathor, and they've got the infrastructures there. And, you know, but right now I think the combined two companies, Fission and Alpha, who have 50% each. I think the combined value is less than 150 million right now, something like that. Mm-hmm. And Hathor was sold for 650 right after Fukushima. So it's like, you know, you could certainly see, obviously, potential for a huge return from here.
Yeah. You know, true economic discoveries, high margin, high grade discoveries are extremely rare. And so once you start getting onto one, it's really worthwhile paying attention to it and being involved in it. And by saying paying attention to it, you need to watch closely and evaluate the results as they come. And when things start not working, the deposit stops growing, or you see limits to it, it's time to get out. We did that last year with the Gold Quest. Played that one pretty well, which, you know, I wish I did that all the time, but I don't. But that one we played pretty well because we followed it in detail and knew what was happening.
You know, why did you pick Fission and not Alpha? Is there any particular reason when you had a 50-50 like that?
Fission was trading somewhat less than Alpha on a comparable basis. And the reason I liked Fission, you know, I know the geologist Ross, he's very, very good, a good management there. And with the deal, I got Denison. And I'd been kind of wanting to get into the uranium space, but I hadn't seen an angle. And so now that they split out, we got 0.33 shares of Denison for every Fission share. So now we own two uranium companies, one with an exciting discoverer, the other with a number of assets in the basin. One of the Lucas Lundin companies, who, in my view, have set themselves up to be in the way of any sort of consolidation in the district. So we get two shots at the uranium in the Athabasca Basin, and both have potential takeover
right
possibilities.
So now going forward, if the fission Denison transaction is done, does it matter which story you play, alpha or fission?
I suppose not.
You think they should combine the companies, and will they at some point?
I don't know what they've got planned. I suspect at some point, once they get a resource, it would make sense to merge the two, so you've got an easy acquisition target.
It'll be interesting to hear what happens with the Patterson Lake discovery. We'll be covering it closely on our blog here. Now, Brent, while we've got the tapes rolling, is there anything you want to get off your chest?
No, not really. I think, you know, what we talked about in the, you know, forget about the daily fluctuations and, you know, what the gold price is or whether Lindsay Lohan is in or out of rehab. But, you know, what does the world look like a year, two, 3 years from now? And plan for that eventuality.
So as far as this summer is concerned,
I think we're going to see some really cheap bargains. I don't know, but I suspect this summer is going to get even uglier.
For those forced to sell.
Yes, for company share prices in general. I think it's going to get really uglier. So I've been pretty conservative in what I buy. I've still got, you know, personally, I'm still half cash, but I will admit that 50% is not my own smarts. It's the other side going down a bit. But yeah, I think we're going to see some real bargains, and there's no urgency in my mind to buy anything unless it's really compelling.
Is there any urgency to sell?
Yeah, I think if you own something, you don't know why you own it. The company's got no money, no future, no hope. Dump it. Just get it off your mind. I mean, that's what I've had to do is, you know, I've got a few of those dogs as well. It's like,
painful.
I'm just tired of even looking at them, thinking about them.
Take the loss.
Yep.
Well, anyway, hopefully there's some brighter days ahead, and I'm sure there will be, just a matter of when.
Yeah, no, I for sure. I mean, the secret to selling high is buying low. Well, we're close.
Brent, I really appreciate your newsletter. I know I've told you before, but I think it's the best in the business, and it's great talking to you, and hope to see you in Vancouver at the Cambridge House Conference at the end of May. You'll be there, right?
I'll be there speaking, and thank you too. I appreciate your interviews, all of them. You've done some fantastic interviews with people in the industry over the past year that I've really enjoyed listening to.
Thanks. I got to figure out some new subjects, some new ideas. So let me know if you have any ideas.
Okay.
All right, Brent, you be well.
All right. Thank you. Let me know when this goes up.
I will.
Cheers. All right. See ya.